Today's scripture comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This is the word of God.
I was talking recently to a friend, and this friend mentioned a conversation that he had with another friend who was Muslim. And this Muslim friend asked him if he was a Christian. Instead of saying, "Yes, I am," or "Yes," or "No, I'm not," my friend replied, and he asked him back, "Well, what do you mean by being a Christian?" And then this Muslim person says, "Well, I know that you Christians, you believe in three gods. You believe in God the Father, who married the god Mary, and they had sex, and they have a son called Jesus." What a confusion. What a confusion. But no wonder why Muslims or other religions also have confusion regarding the Holy Spirit. We ourselves sometimes get confused about the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing this message, during this week, I came across a book of systematic theology, thick like this. And I tried to find a whole chapter on the Holy Spirit, and I couldn't. There was no single chapter on the Holy Spirit. So no wonder some people consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit the most neglected topic in doctrine and practice of the church. I would even say, and Richard quoted this some time ago, that if we would take the Spirit away from the church, or I should say, if we would remove the Holy Spirit of our lives, would our lives be different? If the Holy Spirit was to be removed from your life, would your life be the same? We have several questions about the Holy Spirit. And during this series of studies on the book of Acts, we got to focus on the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who is really acting. And His presence is still in our midst. But we do have some questions. So today, I want to think about some of the questions that we might have about the Holy Spirit. And these are the very same questions that the population, that the multitudes had when they first encountered the Holy Spirit, as we read in the book of Acts. The second chapter of Acts, and Lindsay just read for us, mentioned that event that was called the Pentecost. And during this special event in the life of the church, some strange things happened. And the people were wondering, what was that? So today, as we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to respond to or to answer those very same questions that people asked at that time, because I know we still have those two questions. And number one, the first question is, what does it mean? On the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festivity that was happening in Jerusalem, something strange happened. The Holy Spirit came to the life of the first disciples, and they start speaking in other languages according to the way the Spirit enabled them. And this was a unique event. This was something strange. This was something powerful. This was something mysterious. Can you imagine that? Now, if we have somebody here speaking in German, and you understand everything perfectly, maybe some of you could, but what if somebody would come up here and speak in Portuguese, or French, or Swahili, or Guarani, or any other language, and you would be able to understand? Wouldn't that be something strange, powerful, mysterious, unique? This is what happened in this story. And it is interesting because some people understood in their own languages, but still, for many of them, this was a confusing thing. So that some of the people who were there listening to this or observing this, they thought that the disciples were drunk. They had too much wine. That's why they could not understand those words. They were drunk, some of them said. How many times have you heard people that are not used to the things that we do in the church or as Christians? How many times have you heard people that don't believe the way we believe come to us saying, "Are you crazy? You are fanatic. You're stupid. This is nonsense." So welcome to the club. The Bible says that the message of the cross is foolishness for the Greeks. For the intellectuals, a God that will die on the cross is foolishness. For the Jews, the Bible also says, it is blasphemy. A God that will die on the cross is blasphemy. And for us, it is the revelation of a loving God that cares for us and died for us to rescue us. So while some were making fun when the disciples were speaking in those different languages, some decided to ask, why is this? So we always have an option to make fun of the faith of somebody or to ask, what is the meaning of your faith? What is happening in this time? So some people decided to ask this very same question to the disciples right there. So tell us, what is going on right now over here? We want to know what's this mysterious thing that is happening. Different languages, different sounds, and so forth. And then Peter comes up and he gives the explanation. And this is what he says. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Everything happened in the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is one of those three major Jewish celebrations. They had the Passover, and we call Easter. And 50 days later, they celebrate the Pentecost, or the celebration of the harvest, the first fruits. And there is a tradition in Judaism that 50 days after the people left Egypt, that was the day, 50 days later, when God gave Moses the law. So during Pentecost, they also celebrate the day in which the law was given to Moses and to the people. And this is a very important day to celebrate, because this was God's revelation to the people. This is God trying to communicate, to tell us who He is and what He expects of us. So that's why they celebrate the day in which the law was given. You know what's interesting? The day that law was given to Moses, you know what happened? Exodus described. There was wind, there was fire, and there was strange sound. The very same thing that happened here in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Strong wind, fire, and strange sound. God is trying to communicate something. This is what Peter is saying. Because this day in Acts chapter 2 marks a new beginning, a new revelation. God is showing a new way to relate to Him. No more through the law, but through the Spirit. If you wanted to know about God, you should look to the law. Now if you want to know about the Lord, the Holy Spirit came to teach us about God and how to relate to Him. So Pentecost is the beginning of these last days that Peter is talking about. It is the reversal of the experience that happened in the Tower of Babel. Babel, as we say in Portuguese. Because of that tower, I cannot speak proper English, right? Or you cannot speak proper Portuguese. You choose. But now, because when they're building the Tower of Babel, or Babel, it's easier for me to say in Portuguese, but the Tower of Babel, they were so proud. They were feeling that we're accomplishing something. We're going to go up to heaven and we don't need God to do it. And then God said, no. That's not the way you're supposed to go. You're supposed to go out to the world. So there was a confusion in their languages. And now in Pentecost, there is a reversal. Now, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, they were able to understand all those different languages. Isn't that something? This is the reversal. The Tower of Babel was a time of people being scattered around the world. Now is the time in which the Holy Spirit is bringing everybody together. And He is the focus of it all, the Holy Spirit. That's why this is a major point in the life of humanity, not only the church, the day of Pentecost. So Peter explains, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And I like to think about this word, pour out. Remember, I'm talking about the Feast of Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost. The Jewish had two other major celebrations. One was the Passover, and the other was the Feast of the Tabernacles, Sukkot. John chapter 7 talks about this celebration. Jesus was in Jerusalem during this other celebration called the Tabernacles. And part of the ceremony of this celebration of the Tabernacles was that in the last day, the priests, they would go out to a pool that there was in Jerusalem, the Siloam Pool. They would get water from the pool, bring the water back to the temple, and in this last day, after all the ceremony, the priest will come and pour water into the steps of the temple, pretending that this was like a river of water coming from the temple. This was the highlight of the celebration. Water coming down the steps of the temple. And then, in the midst of this celebration, we read this in John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus, it's written there, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Can you imagine this? They were just observing the water coming out of the steps of the temple. And then Jesus said, well, if you believe in me, rivers of water will come inside of you, will flow inside of you. What a contrast. What a figure. What an image that Jesus is teaching them here. And then John completes the verse saying, by this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So this is the day in which that Jesus talked about during the celebration of the tabernacle was happening. The pouring out of God's Holy Spirit into the world. Pouring out of the Spirit. But the verse also says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Why does he say on all people? Well, he is saying that everybody will receive the capacity, the empowerment that the Holy Spirit was giving only to certain people in the Old Testament. In the past, up to this point, if you read in the New Old Testament, this Holy Spirit will empower certain chosen people to perform some kind of work for God or for people. In the Old Testament, in the old days, the Holy Spirit will come into somebody's life, enhance their skills, or give them leadership capacities beyond their natural capacities to perform something for God. In the Old Testament, there will be times in which God will give supernatural power to somebody to perform something according to God's will. For instance, Samson. He received extra power. He was a strong man. Richard would say that he had eaten a lot of kale. That's why he was strong, right? But it was not kale. It was the Holy Spirit that came upon Samson. And he became a strong man. And he performed what God asked him to perform. And then the Spirit will move away. Back to God. That's how it was in the Old Testament. So much so that David once said, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Because the Holy Spirit would live when the task was accomplished or when the person disobeyed God. But now, from now on, the Holy Spirit will be here. So I could say that Pentecost is the day that God changed his address. This is the day that God changed his address. No more in heaven, but here on earth through the Holy Spirit. And he has been poured into our lives. So just like the water that was cleaning and washing the dirt of the temple away, God is here to wash our wrongdoings, our sin away, and making everything new. So this is what Peter told the folks who were asking what was the meaning of this. And then Peter started to preach a long sermon. And Pastor Richard, 2 Sundays from now, he's going to be talking exactly about this sermon. But after Peter explained the meaning of what was happening there at Pentecost, they came up with a second question. What shall we do? So if the Holy Spirit came into this world, what shall we do? And Peter replied, because they really said that. When the people heard this, they were cut to the throat. It's a very interesting expression, right? Cut to the throat. Or cut to the heart, I should say. Oh, not to the throat, to the heart, yeah. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? And then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we know that the Spirit came. What shall we do? The first thing that the Holy Spirit will also do to us, He will speak to us. He will speak to our heart. He would help us to acknowledge that God loves us so much. He would always speak words of affirmation of our need of salvation and of God's love. But with that, the Holy Spirit will also call us to repent. Repent for the life that we lived, for the way we develop our lives, for the way we miss the mark. So what shall we do? Acknowledge His presence. Repent. And then receive the Holy Spirit. This receiving of the Holy Spirit that Peter talks about here is also called in the Bible as sometimes the expression that is used is be baptized in the Spirit. Or be born again when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. It is all the same thing. Being baptized with the Spirit or receive the Spirit or be born again or be justified or reconciled with God. It's all the same thing. So what is Peter saying here is that this is something that we need to do. Repent and receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come. It's a once for all event in our lives. I know that there is some confusion today in the Christian world about the meaning of this expression, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or is this something that we need to seek after our salvation? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes us, giving us a new life. Because we cannot be Christians without having the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 9 and 10 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But Christ, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So, what shall we do? Repent, believe, and receive the Holy Spirit. If you like theology, if you want to take notes or like theology or you want a very theological sermon, this is my slides for the theologians here in our auditorium. Because the Bible mentions several words to explain our human condition. We live in alienation from God. What Christ provides is the reconciliation. And the Holy Spirit, He applies this through our regeneration. The Bible also says that we are condemned because of our sins. We suffer condemnation because of Christ did. He offered the expiation. I mean, the condemnation was removed. And then the Holy Spirit justifies us. The Holy Spirit says, you are free. Good to go. The Bible also mentions that we are enslaved because of our sin. Christ brings redemption. And then the Holy Spirit, the way it applies, is through liberation. So He said, you are free. You are free. You're not slave anymore. The Bible also mentions depravity, which is our condition because of sin. We are away from God. We cannot live a perfect life. Jesus comes to substitute because we cannot live that way. And the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to live. Everything happens when we repent, believe, and receive the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit came. What shall we do to believe, to repent, and receive? And I have to tell you, my friends, that when this happens, a new world opens up for us. When we do these things, when the Spirit comes, just like the water that was flowing through the temple, so the Holy Spirit will flow through us. Just as that was the highlight of that ceremony, the highlight, the high point of your life will be the day when the Holy Spirit will come and make you a new creature. And I believe that most of you, if not all, have already experienced that. And then you'll say, well, Jerson, so this is something that we already knew. Why are you preaching this? I'm preaching this because there is another set of questions that sometimes we ask. You know, the Bible uses two words that sometimes are confusing. One word is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there's another expression. We read in the Bible that people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you that this is a different thing. Because for some people on whom the Holy Spirit came and was poured on, they had other instances of joy, other experiences of boldness or motivation to serve. Or their character became so similar to Jesus. And the Bible described those experiences or those moments are moments in which they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about people who already had the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When Peter and John, they were arrested. But then they were released from prison. When they got to the place after they were arrested, they found the church praying for them. And the authorities said, Peter, now you cannot talk about Jesus anymore. But the crowd, the church was praying. And on verse 31, says that Peter and John, they got there and they were praying. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Later on, talking about Paul. Paul, again, in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he confronted a sorcerer called Elymas. So those two questions I ask again. What is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Two things I want to say. First, Ephesians chapter 5 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage is telling us, is teaching us that we have to be filled of the Holy Spirit. And the word here is a passive continuous. What does that mean? This is something that has to happen often and on in our lives. It is something that is not done out of our effort. It is something done by God. It is not a single event, but we can have multiple experiences of our life being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be constantly filled or refilled. My friends, the Holy Spirit will not leave us. Once you became a Christian, He's going to stay with you. But what happens is that often in our lives, we kind of put Him in the back seat. You know, when you're driving a car, or somebody is driving your car, and you don't like the way the person is driving, and you don't like the direction that person is going, and then you say, okay, let me get let me sit over here. Let me get the steer. Yeah. Let me take over. And then you have to sit on the side. And if you talk too much, they'll say, well, sit in the back. Right? And if you keep giving suggestions and telling where to go and how to drive, the person will say, well, why don't you go to the trunk? This is what we do with the Holy Spirit. He is here with us. But sometimes we don't like to hear His voice. And then we say, well, let me sit over here. You sit over there. You're talking too much. Or you are seeing so much. Why don't you go to the trunk? And this is what happens. And then we get surprised. How come this person, he is a Christian. But you see the way he behaves? Where is the Holy Spirit? It's in the trunk. It's in the trunk. That's why we need to hear God's voice saying again, let me sit on the driving seat again. And when this happens, this is what the Bible describes as being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a story that I heard from Tony Campolo. This is a professor, a Baptist professor from the Eastern College, and he said that one of his books, he tells a story of a revival meeting that was happening at a particular church. This church actually had several revival meetings. And every time there was a revival meeting, a special preaching event in that church, there was a certain man from the church that he would always walk down the aisle every single time an invitation was given to recommit his life to Christ. So every time was this revival, there was the call to the altar, this man was going to come up to the front. And every time he would come to the front, he will just make a big scene, say, crying out, "Fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill me, Lord Jesus." And after the meeting, he would get all fired up about his faith for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks. And then everything will be back to normal. He would lose his excitement, go back to his old ways, until another evangelist will come to the church, will preach, you know, a very important experiential message about God, about committing their lives to God. And again, this man would come up to the altar, to the front, and always saying, "Fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill me up, Lord Jesus." And this was on and on and on. Until finally, one occasion, after he walked the aisle for, you know, so many times back to doing this again, he was right up front crying out, "Fill me, Jesus, fill me up, Lord." A lady from the backside of the church, she couldn't stand anymore. And she yelled at the top of her lungs, "Don't do it, Lord, because he licks. He licks. Don't do it, Lord, because he licks." Like a radiator, right? Yeah. And this is what happens to us. And this is what happens to us. That's why we need to be refilled or filled with the Holy Spirit. Because there are so many things that we do that we lick. We lick. And then the second question that we're talking about all the time here, again, we should ask. So what shall we do? What shall we do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? My friends, there is no secret. There is no formula. Because we cannot control the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It blows wherever and whenever He wants. We cannot put the Holy Spirit in a cage and domesticate the Holy Spirit. We cannot even understand Him fully. But we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? The first thing that comes to my mind is that in this passage that we are reading, the filling of the Holy Spirit always happens in a context in which people are trying to empty themselves out of their own desires. The filling of the Holy Spirit always happens in a context in which people are searching and seeking sanctification. The filling of the Holy Spirit always comes in a time when people are trying to get the Spirit back from the trunk to the driving seat. The filling of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament comes when people are ashamed of their sin and willing to change. When people are tired of doing the same things all the time and they want to be renewed and be sanctified and holy, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and fills our lives again. John chapter 15 verse 2 says, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruits." Maybe there are times in which the Holy Spirit will come and prune us so that we can bear more fruit. So what shall we do? First ask yourself, how is my life? Who is in control of my life? Who is driving my life? Who do I want to please in this world? What are my priorities? If you cannot say that God is your priority, God is the one you want to please, maybe this is a time for repentance and say, please fill me up again with your Holy Spirit. A second thing I want to say is that there is a passage in the book of Acts, chapter 19. It is a very interesting passage because Paul was traveling and he got to a city called Ephesus. And in Ephesus, perhaps not so much in the city, but a little away from the city, he met this group of people. The Bible calls them disciples or followers. It doesn't say exactly if they were disciples of Christ. It called them disciples. And then Paul, we read Acts chapter 19. He says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, this is what they said. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Interesting. Maybe there are Christians that never heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Because we got so accustomed to the things we do in the church. Or because we know that we are saved. And the Holy Spirit really is something like the book that I just mentioned. There's not even a chapter for that in this book or in our lives. So, my friends, it is interesting, but as simple as this, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to realize that there is a such thing as the Holy Spirit. There is God in you, which is the Holy Spirit. Many Christians today are like that, are not even aware that the Holy Spirit is a person that wants to communicate with us. For many, the Holy Spirit is just a power or something that ministers and missionaries need. For some, the Holy Spirit is just a wind or an energy. But He is a personal God. For some, their relationship with the Holy Spirit is the same as a bad marriage. You know how a bad marriage happens? We live under the same roof, right? One has to pay the bills, another has to do the cooking or the washing or whatever. One person just uses the other. There is no time for enjoyment. There is no time to celebrate their joys and their struggles. There is no time to communicate their intimate thoughts. This is how people treat the Holy Spirit. We need you. Please help me. God save me. And that's it. No time to celebrate. So, my friend, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Remember that there is a living person, a living God inside of you who tries to communicate and celebrate with you, who tries to explain the Bible to you, a Holy Spirit that helps us to understand God's will, a Holy Spirit, a person inside of us that gives us strength to overcome evil. There are many times in my life that I was about to make a mistake. I was about to make bad choices. And suddenly I came across a passage or an email or a Facebook post. Something that the Holy Spirit was trying to say, don't do that. Don't allow that feeling grow inside of you, inside of your heart. Walk out by the Spirit and we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. This is the Holy Spirit that is a friend that we have inside of us. Treat your Holy Spirit as a daily companion in your journey. He is the counselor. We pay a lot for our therapies, don't we? I had to spend a lot of money paying for my therapist. It was good. But let's not forget that there is a counselor living inside of us. Henry Cloud tells the story of his father. And this is my last story. Henry Cloud is a Christian psychologist. He's famous for the book Boundaries. And he tells that his father, when he was 40 years old, he almost dropped dead in a theater. He was very overweight. He had started a company, had gotten quite busy, and the stress was so great that he passed out. They took him to the hospital, where the doctor said, "It's your heart. Your problem is your heart, and you have about 6 months to live. Get your affairs in order." It's very hard to hear that, right? You have 6 months to live. You are in a bad shape. Get your affairs in order. And then Henry Cloud said that his father, remember, he was 40. "My dad went from there to another hospital where they studied his heart for about a month. Eventually, they came to him and said, 'There's nothing wrong with your heart, but if you're going to die, if you don't change your life practices, you got to get rid of this stress.' After that, my dad changed. And he said that one of the most important changes that my dad made was to make a deeper commitment to his faith. Every day when he would come home from his office, he would sit in his chair and he would pray and talk to God. 'God, all of this stuff I'm doing and I'm worried about, I want to give it to you. Be my counselor.' And he would spend the evening talking to God. Every day, he would read from the scripture and he would hear God's voice until the end of his days. And he died when he was 94. And he was given 6 months to live. This is the counselor that we have. This is the one that says to us, be open, repent, receive, let me fill your life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Is He welcome in your life? I want to break the rules here. I'm going to ask Ryan to sing at least one part of that song that we sang in the beginning. Because the Holy Spirit for us must be a welcome guest. Are you willing to welcome Him in your life like never before? We have a visitor in our house. Somebody that, friend of our kids, he came from Brazil. And I was thinking about him and the Holy Spirit. When this young man that came yesterday, came to our house, we went to the room that he was going to stay. And we decided to clean the room. We realized that there were things in the room that did not need to be there. So we took those things away. We wanted to make the room comfortable, enjoyable for this guest. Are you welcoming the Holy Spirit in your life like that? Maybe there are some things that you need to take away from your room. Create space in your life. And the good thing that every time a guest comes to our house, the Holy Spirit comes to our house, He brings gifts. We're going to be talking about the gifts and the commands next week. But just as Cirilo came and brought us gifts from heaven, which means coffee from Brazil, right? Gifts from heaven. The same way the Holy Spirit, when He comes to our lives, He brings gifts. So why not to welcome Him in our lives again? Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Can we sing, Ryan, that part again?
Feel free to join me. We'll sing the chorus twice.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
O Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you in our lives. We know that you live with us, inside of us. There was a day in which we invited you to come to our hearts. But today we want to confess, because many times we decided to take over. So many times we didn't hear your voice. So many times we decided to do things our ways, not your ways. And perhaps, Lord, in some of our lives, you may be really dormant, not doing anything because we don't want. So we come to confess. And once again to say that you are welcome back to the main place of our lives, to your heart, to our minds. Forgive us, Lord, for perhaps not giving attention enough to you. Forgive us, Lord, for not living the life that you want us to live. Forgive us, Lord, for so many times we want to do things the way we want and we don't listen to your command. Forgive us, Lord, for the times in which we are not willing to sacrifice our will, our preferences, our desires. But now, Lord, we want to recommit our lives again and say you are welcome. You are welcome. Help us to remove everything that is in the way of your will in our lives. Fill our lives again. Fill this church again. Maybe even as a church, we're doing things our way. We're doing things out of our tradition, out of our preferences, out of our style. And we don't leave space for you to act. Help us, Lord, and fill this place again with your power, with your joy, with the boldness, with the courage, with the motivation, the energy that we live to live this world, to live the life in this world. So I pray, Lord, for every person who is here today. Maybe there is somebody who has never experienced the Holy Spirit in their life. Somebody who is still controlling his or her life. May this be a special time in which we will say, you are welcome. Jesus, you are welcome. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We will sing another song. And as I sing this song, I'm going to go down as Pastor Richard always does. And I want to invite you, if you want to perhaps decide to join this church or to give your life to Christ, or if you want something to change in your life, you need your help, our help or the help of the Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come. We'll greet you. We'll pray for you as we sing.